Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Alban Hears. Father Peter is the founder and first to serve as editor of Divine Ascent, a journal of Orthodox faith, and the founder and current head of Uncut Mountain Press. He is a PhD candidate at the Theological School of the University of Thessaloniki, where he has also completed his undergraduate studies and master's degree in dogmatic theology. In this podcast, Father Peter shares with us his 13 years of experience of living the faith and serving the church in Greece. Here's Father Peter.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the feast of the Holy Fathers, the 318 Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council in Nicaea. Today we celebrate the Holy Fathers, their life and their confession. The Holy Fathers like St. Athanasius of Alexandria, St. Athanasius the Great, or St. Spyridon the Wonder Worker, who were present. But we also celebrate what they did. And what did they do? What was their chief aim and success at the First Ecumenical Council? It was that they established the faith. They established the boundaries of the faith. And they said, outside of these boundaries, you must not go. Otherwise, you are outside of salvation. You are outside of the church. And those boundaries are the confession of the Trinity, the confession of the divinity of Christ, and the confession later on of the Holy Church at the Second Ecumenical Council. They established a boundary between orthodoxy and heresy, between the church and schism and heresy. And these boundaries are equal to our salvation, or at least within these boundaries, our salvation can be worked out. Outside, they cannot be worked out, according to the Holy Fathers. If we do not confess the divinity of Christ, salvation is outside of our reach. We are outside of the boundaries established by the Holy Fathers. The Holy Fathers established these boundaries so that we might know where to aim at our life and our purpose, and where not to go, where not to go beyond. And if we don't go beyond those, we lose sight and we lose communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see this in the gospel in many ways. I'll give you just two examples in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. The first is the prodigal son and the father. The prodigal son, in coming to his senses, understood that he was outside of the Father's house. That outside of the Father's house, he was outside of the communion with the Father. And he understood that he was outside of the relationship, the trust, and the love of the Father. And that coming to his senses, he must return. And that return is repentance. And he must trust the Father. And that trust is faith. And so we see immediately that there are presuppositions laid down for our communion with God in the church, and that is faith, trust in God, and repentance, returning to the Father. If those boundaries were blurred, if he had not understood that he was far from the Father's house in exile, he would not know that he needed to return. And that's exactly what the devil does in every age. He is attempting always to blur the boundaries between orthodoxy and heresy, between an ethical life and an unethical life, between a spiritual life and a life in the world, in worldly pursuits. And that so we cannot discern, and it's not clear to us what we've lost and how we need to return. And if that is achieved by the enemy of our salvation, then essentially, the road back to the Father, the road back to salvation, is cut off. That's why the Holy Fathers at the First Ecumenical Council and all the Holy Ecumenical Councils were so adamant that the boundaries be laid down, that it was clear where one must be and within which boundary one must remain in order to remain in the communion of the church, that is, in salvation. In the Old Testament, we see the same being worked out from the beginning of this adventure, from the fall all the way to our days. We see that the devil is at work to do away with the boundaries laid down by the Father. He says, the Lord says to Adam, you will eat of this and you can eat of that. You will not eat of this tree. He laid down the boundaries. Up until this point, Adam and Eve, you will go. Do not go beyond these boundaries I am laying down. Within this obedience, within this communion, within these limits, work out your salvation. Within these limits, work out your salvation. And yet Adam listened, Eve listened to the enemy, who came with an aim of doing away with these boundaries laid down by the Father, because he knew that they were equal to salvation, that if they remained within these boundaries, they would work out their salvation. That is obedience, trust in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he also came to do away with the boundary established by God, with the lie that you will be gods without obedience to God. That you will do away with the boundary between God and man without God. Not by grace, as the Lord came in the incarnation to give us to become gods by grace. But in disobedience, you will become like gods, or you will become gods. So he is again doing away with the boundary between God and man, the boundaries laid down by our Lord. After the fall, after these boundaries were broken, and the presuppositions did not exist for communion with God, the Lord established another boundary, the boundary there to paradise. He said, you will no longer enter paradise. And why? Why did he establish this? Why, some might say today, when priests go and say, you are no longer able to enter this communion in the church, you do not fulfill the presuppositions, they say he's an unloving priest. He's an unloving bishop. The church, the Orthodox Church, is unloving because they insist on the boundaries of the church. And that would be like saying that the Father who and our Lord who put Adam and Eve outside of paradise was unloving. But it would be a lie to have put Adam and Eve in that situation of disobedience back in paradise. It would be futile as well, because he would be a stranger in paradise with his disobedience, with his fall, with his distance from the Father's house, from paradise. And yet that's what many seek today. They come for the holy mysteries without repentance, without faith, without trust, seeking to do away with these boundaries as if they can achieve it without true repentance and without fulfilling the presuppositions. That would be like Adam and Eve insisting to go back into paradise without having fulfilled the presuppositions. It is the work of the devil that wants us to do away with the boundaries which are equal to our salvation. In our day and age, the devil is at work doing the same as he did to Adam and Eve, as he did in the 4th century, the First Ecumenical Council, doing away with the boundaries, not trying to allow them to be established, because he knew that once they were established, then people would know where they had to be in order to be saved. So he comes today to do away with the boundaries of orthodoxy and heresy in many different ways. In many different levels, on all levels of the church, from top to bottom, we see this temptation to do away with the boundaries. And this is the greatest threat to the unity of the church, but also to the salvation of the world. For when these boundaries are done away with, then no one will be able to discern where salvation can be worked out, within which boundaries of which confession of faith can our salvation be worked out. So this is the greatest act of mercy on the part of the Holy Fathers, to insist on the confession of the Orthodox faith, to insist on the boundaries, and to pronounce anathema to the heretics. And what does this anathema mean? We hear it and we confuse it and we misinterpret it again and again. Anathema would be to lift up the person to the mercy of God. Yes, to lift him up. This is no longer ours. We can no longer have this communion, and we give him over to God. This is what Paul talks about, and it's an act of mercy. It is a last act of mercy that is possible on the part of the church when there is no repentance, no faith, no trust, when the presuppositions are not met for communion. Then the church says, from here on, you are outside. We cannot have communion. The presuppositions are not met. We cannot have you in. It would be a lie to be accept you. And we would not only not affect your salvation, but we would lose ours as well. if we went on with a charade and say that you have communion with the Father when you deny the Son, when you deny the church, or whatever the heresy might be. And so the devil is at work continually in every age to do away with the boundaries. And yet, and he presents it in our age as some kind of loving act by doing away with the boundaries, by accepting the heterodox into a communion on whatever level, as if this is a loving act, when in fact it is an act of deception on his part for us to do away essentially with what exists for their salvation. This happens, however, in the church as well. And there are those who are baptized Orthodox Christians who do not, however, fulfill the presuppositions of participation in the Holy Mysteries. And they come to be married or to baptize or to commune, and they have not fulfilled the presuppositions for participation in the Holy Mysteries. And what are those? Again, faith, trust, repentance, obedience. In every age, from Adam and Eve to our day, these are the presuppositions that must be fulfilled if there's going to be a salvific participation in the Holy Mysteries, in the church. If they are not fulfilled, and we go along, especially we priests, go along with a charade, with an external ritual, and we know that there's not trust, there is not faith, there is not obedience, there is not repentance on the part of those coming. They live in sin, they have relationships outside of marriage, or they come without any real trust, without any intention to continue the life of the church. And there are many such examples in our day, especially in Greece, where we overlook all that, or we ignore it in order to not create troubles for ourselves, perhaps we've convinced ourselves that this is a good pastoral act, that we are smarter than the Holy Fathers, perhaps even that our love exceeds the love of our Savior, who, when the rich man came and could not accept the presuppositions, could not accept the call to repentance, to follow him, the Lord did not chase after him. He did not change the presuppositions. He did not change things to make it easy. He allowed the man to leave. Or when he turned to his disciples and he said, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." And it says the disciples, many of the disciples, turned away. And he turns to the 12 and he says, "Will you also go?" He did not say to those who turned away, "Come back. Perhaps it's too difficult for you to accept. Come back and we can talk about it. We can work out some arrangement. We can create other easier presuppositions that might be more acceptable to you." He allowed them to leave. Perhaps he was unloving. Perhaps he was also unloving like the Father was when Adam and Eve were removed from paradise. Of course, this would be blasphemy. And we, on our part, we must be very careful, especially we priests, that we not become more loving than the Lord himself, more loving than the Father, and fall into this trap of doing away with the boundaries, as if, therefore, we can create salvation without the presuppositions being met. And so when someone comes to baptize their child but has no relationship to the church, or comes to be married but has no repentance because they've been living in sin and have relationships outside of marriage, without any repentance, without any fulfillment of the holy canons or the teachings of the holy fathers, without any contrition or good disposition, and we go ahead and we go through the charade of the mystery. We make the mystery rather into a charade, that is, into something that it's not. That is establishment of communion, because the presuppositions have not been met. We are not affecting salvation. We are not helping them on the path to salvation. We are making it worse, harder, because they have not realized they're far from the Father, that they have not realized and come to their senses, and they've not come to true communion, true faith, true obedience, and repentance. And this is apparent in the gospel for today's feast. The Lord himself says, "I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine." What does he mean? That the Lord does not want all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? Of course he does. The Lord and the Holy Spirit does not work incessantly for the salvation of all men. He does not want the repentance of the sinner to come to the knowledge of God. Of course he does. What does he mean? What does our Lord mean? "I pray not for the world, I pray for those whom thou hast given me." Here he is describing the relationship of those within the church. And he is respecting the freedom of those outside who have not heard the gospel, have not listened, who have not been obedient to the call. And if they do not want salvation, if they do not want participation, then he will not insist on it. He respects their freedom. And we should do no less. He respects their freedom as he did with the disciples who turned away. He respects their freedom as he did with the rich man who could not accept the call of the gospel. And yet we act as if we are greater than the Lord himself, as if we can do away with the need for repentance, and that we can overlook the use of their freedom, their disposition not being a disposition acceptable and pleasing to God. And we can overlook that and establish a communion where there is none. The Lord prays, and this is the basis for which the Orthodox Church does not pray publicly in the holy services for non-Orthodox. Right here, the Lord says, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those whom thou hast given me. Those who have accepted the presuppositions, this is the prayer of the church, for the communion to be established. He's talking here in the context of those who are working their salvation out within the boundaries, who are on the path to theosis. This is the prayer that he is offering. That particular kind of prayer is the one he is offering for only those within the boundaries. Those outside, we pray for their repentance, for their return. But there is no prayer in terms of them coming to work out their salvation within the church. It's another category. It's a different relationship that they have. It's not a relationship that exists within the church. So, again, brothers and sisters, let's be on guard on every level, whether it be on an episcopal level, on a parish level, on a level in the family where the boundaries between the son and the father or the daughter and the mother are being done away with, the boundaries in society, the boundaries that the Lord has established in terms of marriage or whatever it might be, on all the different levels, between the countries of the world, the Lord has established boundaries between the tribes of the earth. For our salvation, these were established. And when we participate in the doing away with these boundaries, with the ignoring of the presuppositions that exist that must be met in order for communion to be real and to be effectual for our salvation, when we participate in this doing away with the boundaries, that is the work of the devil from the day one, from the work against the salvation of Adam and Eve in paradise, then we are not working with the Lord for the salvation of the world. And let's be on guard to protect the boundaries, for the boundaries are equal to our salvation. They are there for us and for our salvation and the salvation of the world.
You've been listening to Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Alban Hears, the founder and current head of Uncut Mountain Press. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.